Father, we want to thank you in the name of Jesus. We give you praise. We honor your wonderful presence, your Holy Spirit that's here, Lord God, that's in us. We acknowledge him, Lord. When we got born again, the Holy Spirit, you said, came into our hearts, changed us. We give you praise, Father, for the life ahead of us. We do not walk by what we feel, by what we think about it. We walk by your precepts and your commandments and your word. And we walk by the law of love, and we're guided by the spirit of faith. We want to thank you in advance for what this teaching will do. We'll set captives free in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen, amen. And amen. Praise God. All right. If you turn your Bibles with me, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In verse 3, I want to read the King James Bible there. Our title of the message tonight is Blinded and Held Captive by the Devil. And, of course, our topic is freedom, freedom in Christ. Our text there, as I mentioned, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. I'm reading the King James. And then I'm going to read it in the New Living Translation. And let's go ahead and read our text. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. The word gospel means good news. If you're a prisoner, it's good news to be set free. If you're sick, healing is good news that you can be healed. If you're depressed, it's good news to know that you don't have to be depressed. Over in 2 Corinthians, again, 4:3, the New Living Translation said, if the good news we preach is hidden behind a veil, it is hidden only from people who are perishing. And so I propose this message to you, or this point to you that of this message tonight, is that people are blinded by lies, deception. But the light of the gospel expels darkness, reveals lies, and it gives us the freedom that we need to set ourselves free. As an introduction, I want to say, whenever and wherever the good news is preached, light will shine. The word of God gives us light, and it gives light to a dark world. The kingdom of Satan is a very dark kingdom. And Jesus came to give light. And he shone the light. The Bible says, let's go over here to John chapter 8, verse 12, the New Living Translation. Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness, because you will have the light of the light that leads to life. Then over there in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, the scripture says, the New Living Translation, and to us he said, you are the light of the world, speaking to his disciples and us. A city on a hilltop cannot be hidden. In John 9, 5, it says, while I'm here in this world, I am the light of the world. God, Jesus, wants us to preach the light of the gospel to this dark world. And Jesus said in John 17, 18, he said, just as he's talking to the Father and speaking about us, just as you sent me into the world, I am sending them into the world. So each one of us has the mandate to preach the gospel, to bring light where there's darkness. Each one of us, by our, you know, efforts and preaching the gospel, telling people the truth, we have the potential of bringing light wherever there's darkness. Everybody say, held in a prison house. Say, I was held in a prison house. That's the way God describes you. In the Old Testament, very often you see the children of Israel referred to as prisoners. and the kings were their captives. The enemy of Israel would come and they would take them and destroy their property in the city and bring everyone, put them in chains and bring them over to their kingdom, bring them over to their country and use them as slaves, as prisoners. And the Bible describes the children of Israel when they were held captive in Egypt. Egypt is a type of being in the kingdom of darkness, where they had no rights, no privileges. They were in chains. They were property of the devil. They themselves did not own any property. They owned nothing. And they were held completely captive by Satan or by Pharaoh or, you know, at that the king there, the darkness, the kingdom of God, and they suffered greatly. And every time in the Old Testament, God always sent his prophets to give the people a message that they should turn back to God. And God, the prophet would warn them to say, if you continue to do what you're going to do, what you're doing now, another kingdom will come, a king will come and take you held captive, all of you, every one of you. And some of you will even die. And if you don't follow me, you will either die by war, famine, or plague. And so that's in the Old Testament. If you read the Old Testament, you will see that. And all these things that are type and shadows, a lot of the things that in there are types and shadows. In other words, if something is mentioned in the New Covenant, in the New Testament, if something is mentioned there, and they refer to the Old Testament, what happened to them is a type and a shadow of what happens to the people today. Jesus said about Moses, he said, the Son of Man, as Moses held the serpent in the wilderness, this is referring to Numbers 21, verse 8, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be held, be lifted up. Jesus became a curse, and if you see, in the medical field has a pole, and they have a snake on it. And how many people have ever seen the medical profession have that? Well, that's coming from the Bible, and the pole represents the cross that Jesus was put on. And the snake represents, of course, the serpent and sickness and the curse. And Jesus became a curse for us. And he was put on the cross. In Number 21:8, the Bible says, when the children of Israel disobeyed God, and the Lord had to allow the snakes come in, and they bit the people, and many people died because of the poisonous snake. And Moses, God told Moses, tell the people, don't look at the snake, but look at the pole, look at the serpent. And when they look at the serpent on the cross, on the pole, they lived. That's a type and shadow of us looking to Jesus for our redemption. Jesus himself referred to that reading in the Old Testament. So the Bible all is, it jives together. It fits together like a puzzle. And a lot of people try to disprove, the Bible, but the Bible fits like a glove. And it's all perfectly put together, and they never collaborated, together. And it's all written together so that we can have understanding today. So the Bible describes God's people as being held captive in the Old Testament. And that they were being prisoners and of their enemy, which is a type, as I mentioned, of Satan's kingdom. Now, over here, if you turn to Isaiah 49, verse 24, 25, and you see this particular example of Israel or a child of God who can be held captive. And before we were ever born again, Whether you realize or not, you were a prisoner. Some of you might have felt safe in some way, and you didn't need God. And I thought, people, listen to this. People who are not saved, they don't think they need God. They don't need the gospel. And they think the gospel is foolish and that all of us are stupid. They think we're all foolish because we believe the Bible and because we believe in Jesus. Why is that? Why do we believe something so simple? Because God made it that way. And he said it's a simple thing, but it'll keep you, set you free. And the people of the world thinks it's idiotic and stupid. But God said, I want to make something so stupid. And so he gave us the gospel. Now, Isaiah 49:24 and verse 25, the New Living Translation, the Bible says, who can snatch the plunder from war, from the hands of the warrior? Who can demand that a tyrant let his captives go? Well, who can go and tell a tyrant, leave this person alone? If he's a tyrant, he's a tyrant for a reason. And you can't just go up to someone and can you go and knock on China's door and say, I want you to all release all the prisoners that are Christians. You know what they'll do to you? I'll leave it up to your mind. But he says, but the Lord says, everybody say the Lord says. But the Lord says the captives of warriors will be released and the plunder of the tyrants will be retrieved. In other words, everything you lose, everything you lost before God will bring it back to you. If you believe. Don't be just, sitting there, thank God I'm saved, it's all, that's good enough. But no, begin to, whatever was stolen from you, your youth was stolen from you. All the years that was stolen from you, begin to believe God and take back what the devil has stolen from you. The plunder of the tyrants will be retrieved, for I will fight those who fight you. I'll save your children. In other words, God says, I'm going to be the one who's going to fight against your enemy. Amen? He says, that you're not going to fight the enemy by yourself. There's scriptures in the Bible that says the battle is not yours, but the Lord. And there's some people say, I've been fighting the enemy all day long. No, you're not. You never fight no enemy. You've been fighting with your thoughts. And you better start thinking positive. Get the gospel to change your mind. Right, Ernie? There's God. All right, Ernie, I'll leave you alone tonight. I always go to Ernie if I'm running out of material. And so I'm not running out of material yet, Ronnie. I you're safe. So he said, I'll save your children. I was at someone's place very recently, and their child was held captive with drugs. And they called and said, I want to talk to Pastor Roma. I had someone talk to me last night. They called me, sent me a message at 11 o'clock last night. Let me tell you something. I get so many messages. People, sometimes I don't know, call me for different reasons. One young man called me the other day and gave me some messages. And one lady called me last night, and it was like, you might not get this message by tonight. It was 11 o'clock, and I was watching Donald Trump. And I was interested in what was going on. And then I said, I can't press that, because they know if I press that, then they know I must have read it, but I don't want to talk to them today. So I'll press it in the morning. So I got too tired, so I pressed it in the morning, and then I had the first thing I did and opened my eyes, and I started answering mail before I can get out of my bed. You ask my wife sometimes, I'll spend half an hour, 45 minutes in my bed praying for people and, answering mail. And the Lord gave me a message to send to this person. And they were just, this was just so wonderful. They just like, wow, this is wonderful. They have their own personal pastor. And just dial a pastor and you got one. And so I was able to give them a message. So, and I went there, and I was so delighted to pray for an individual to be set free. And, you know, it was easy because when someone wants to be free, it's so easy to pray for them. Because they said, I want to be free. Okay, let's pray. It was such an easy thing. They're just cooperative. And, you know, everybody has to come to a place where they're ready to quit using drugs. The other day, I told someone, you gotta be honest and have some humility. Be willing to accept help and get to places where you can get your you know, your whatever salvation, whatever you need. But everybody, when they want drug rehab, oh, first they want to do this. I want to, you know, take care of my apartment first. I want to do this. You don't have any, you know, like, it's amazing. If you always using stuff like that, you'll never get better. Huh? You won't get better. You have to do it like right now. Like when I went to treatment, I said, okay, I'm going. I don't care. I'm just going to stay sober. Just put me somewhere. I remember running to the psych ward over here. They used to have the hospital. I said, put me in right now. Lock me up right now. And so I went there, and they said, nah, this guy is really crazy. You know, I was like really crazy. And I was really mixed up in my mind. You know, I was just like really like this. You know, it's when someone is sick mentally and they have an excuse, but I didn't have an excuse. I did this to myself. And some of you are doing stuff to yourself. And you don't need no devil to attack you. You're attacking yourself for a long time. No one's saying amen. And so, but I feel so alone. But, you know, like sometimes people, they think, you know, pray for me. Like I was joke about this one, and I think all of you can relate to it. Pray for me. This man told me, I'm just driving out of my parking at the church. I'm just driving out, backing up, and some guy come running to me, banging on my door and trying to get into my car. Pastor, pray for me. Why? He said, pray for me that the devil is attacking my finances. Well, that's an emergency. I stop my car and take it out of reverse and put it back in the parking. A lot of times when I sit with these individuals, so we said, we're going to take stock and find out who's attacking your finances. So we said, okay, where did you put this money for that? And, you know, what about this and what about that? We found out he was the devil themselves. They were attacking their own finances. I said, we found out you're the devil that's attacking the finances. I said, you don't have no devil here. You're the devil. And so everybody, like, we all like to blame the devil, right? Huh? Yeah, we blame the devil for everything. Oh, it's the devil, you know. No, it's yourself. And that's why people are held captive. They're not honest with themselves. And everybody, if you want to be free tonight from anything, it'd be the easiest thing to pray for you if you would just get honest. God can help anybody, but he can't help dishonest people. And when I went to Alcoholics Anonymous years ago, they said, Roma, you have to be honest. And no one told me that before. You got to be honest. No one ever told me that. I guess they might have told me before, but I never heard it. First time I heard it. And so I started, okay, I'm going to get honest now. You know the word honest? H-O-W. It said H is for honesty. O is for open-mindedness. So keep an open mind. When we ever say something, you keep an open mind. Don't shut it out. And W stands for willingness. Be willing to do whatever comes to you. Whatever people tell you to do, you must be willing to do whatever it takes to get out of this situation. You don't have any rights when you're a prisoner. And you have to do whatever it takes to get out of your situation. And so the devil takes people who are disobedient. And he has every right to take them captive and hold them in bondage. You know, and you know, it starts by a little white lie, and you know, a little this and that, and it covers up. And, oh, that's not bad. You know, hey, a little bit of this is not going to hurt you. And then pretty soon, you're actually captive by something. You know, and it's all you're held captive. Now, so the Bible says that who can snatch the plunder from the warrior? Who can free the prisoner from the tyrant? Well, the Lord says, I can do it. I will do it. I will release you. I will free you, but I also will get everything back that your captor has taken from you. Not only that, but your enemy is my enemy. This is where you should get actually happy, because this is, you know, a covenant. This is a covenant. God says, whatever is against you, I'm against them. And I'm going to help you. And anybody who has a child who's in addictions can claim the scripture. This child is my child. You will not steal this child from me. And go right to the enemy's camp. Knock heads together and say, I'm taking this kid out. And you got to do that. You know, I was listening to, there's a lady. They call her the Iron Lady. Anybody who know who that is? Her name was what? What's her name? Margaret Thatcher. She was my neighbor for a long, long time. No, she's not there. She was the Prime Minister of Britain, right? I was going to say England. Is England and Britain? Okay, it's the same thing. Okay, so anyway, she says, you sometimes you have to fight more than one time. How does it go? You have to fight a battle more than once. Sometimes you have to fight a battle more than one time to declare yourself a winner, you know. So you have to fight sometimes more than one time. So, notice what Isaiah 42 and verse 7 says. King James says, this is about Jesus. This is about you and me taking the message of Jesus. This is about God sending Jesus to the world. He says, to open the blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. It talks about there that us being blind to what's going on spiritually. It talks about us being prisoners and held actually in a prison house, and that we sit in a dark place. And Jesus came. There's a song that made perfect one time. I don't know if it was Hank Williams who actually wrote the song, but he's saying, I saw the light. Something like that, anyway. I saw the light. You know, everybody saw the light. When the gospel came, the light came in you, and you saw what was going on in your life. And so, the Amplified says to open the eyes to the blind, to bring out the prisoners from their dungeon, to those who sit in darkness from the prison. You know, believers, you know, we can be set free from darkness, from the devil. We came out of Egypt, just like, you know, like the rest, like Israel did. We came out of the devil's, you know, camp, and we got born again. We got set free, but some of us went back to Egypt. Some of us went back to the world. Not because we actually wanted to, but we were lied to, somebody hurt us, things happened to us, and we said, I got to go back. Or something went on in their life where you just went back. And I, you know, when Christians did it, they get saved. They said, you know, and when they have a little bumpy spot, we never had that before. You know, what are you talking about? And you see that in the book of Numbers, where the Israelites, you know, they're complaining to Moses and the leadership there. He said, you know, at least, you know, back in Egypt, we had onions and garlic. We want to go back and eat onions and garlic. We didn't have all this problem. Like people, when they get saved, they say the same thing, you know, I didn't have this problem before. I didn't have this problem before when I was out there drinking, doing drugs. I didn't have this problem before. Well, you know, the devil doesn't have to bother you. He's already got you. And he's got you captive. And he's going to bother people who's not held captive. So in 2 Timothy 2:24, it's talking to Christians here. And it's talking about people like us, ministers, or you as a person of light, talking to someone who is in darkness, or a Christian who is in darkness. He said, a servant of the Lord must not quarrel. How many of you are quarrelers? You know what a quarrel is? You know what, being argumentative? You know, you don't supposed to argue with people and grab a scripture and hit them over the head. And so, but you must be kind to everyone, but is able to teach and to be patient with difficult people. Everybody say patient. With difficult people. You know, they call them dragons. And in leadership, you call dragons with good intentions. You know, they always want to have something to say to you. So, it says in here, gently instruct those who oppose the truth. Perhaps God will change those people's hearts and they will learn the truth. Well, thank God. God can change a heart if you have openness. If you're open. You know, you might not know. Like, sometimes you pray for somebody, they're not that cooperative, but I try to get them as cooperative as I can, and I don't tell them what I'm doing. I said to some people, they don't believe in healing or anything like that, so I'm not going to use their faith, I'm going to use mine. Yeah. So I said to them, can you just, would you accept prayer? Oh yeah, but I don't believe in that stuff. I don't really believe, but just go on my faith. I didn't tell them that, but I said, I want to pray for you. So if anybody has problems, if you could just get to the place and say, you know, don't have to believe anything. Can you allow me to pray for you? Yeah. Then you can go in there. God has something to work with. Yeah. And a lot of times you get them free and you pray for them and you say, ooh, what happened? Well, that's the medicine. I just injected you with some power. So, and they say, oh, this is good. You want some more? Oh, yeah. And, you know, I was telling some people who were just so open to God, you know. I've had places where, you know, where people just open to God and, you know, they're so hungry for God. You come to a place in your Christian life where you're just so open to God, you love God. And I've had to tell people, before I could ever pray for them, they started speaking in tongues. I was going to say, do you want me to pray for you? You know, and they say, He didn't have to pray for them at all. But sometimes you tell people, you know, you want to get them filled with the Holy Spirit, you try everything. You ever try to pray for something like that? You know, you try to get them to fill with the Holy Spirit. Jump up and down. Put your feet like this. Put your hand over here. Say Jesus. You know? Lie down. Stand up. And you try to get them to do everything, but they're still not filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, so, you know, you try every trick in the book, but some people, you can't stop them. They just fill the Holy Spirit. They can't even move. Can't even say nothing. I was going to say, you're not supposed to be praying in tongues first. I was supposed to pray for you. Because I wanted to do it. I wanted that as, you know, well, he prayed for me. But the Lord showed me lots of times, like, you know, I don't really need you. I can do this too. You know, and he has the power. You know, the message, the good news, whether it's healing, salvation, the devil lies to people and blinds them. And the people of this world are the unsaved, and they're spiritually blind. They're spiritually blind. People that are not saved are spiritually blind. People, they're in darkness, in deception. They can't see the truth because the devil has lied to them, and the devil has said things about even things against what you're trying to tell them. It's sort of not open. And sometimes you might have to pray for them for a while to get them to be open because the demons are there. You know, they're harassing them. They're unable to see the good news. So let's go over here to read this as a text scripture, proof scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3 to 7, the New Living Translation. If the good news we preach is hidden behind a veil, it is hidden only from the people who are perishing. That's the people who are, you know, in other words, the people that are unsaved, they don't know the truth. If you try to tell them about Jesus, about something, they don't know anything. They think, if you're preaching to them about something, you might as well go, gooba, 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 gooba. They don't know, they don't understand you. They're like, they don't know. It's like you're speaking in a strange language. So, Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They're unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact image of God. You see, we don't go around preaching about ourselves. We preach that Jesus is Lord, and we ourselves are your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let there be light in darkness," has made the light shine in our hearts so that we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. We now have this light shining in our hearts. But we ourselves are fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God and not from ourselves. To those people who are dying that don't have the gospel, and maybe some Christians who are actually dying with cancer, they don't believe about healing. They're still under deception to some degree because they don't believe that God actually can heal them or that God can actually help them. You know, they said, I'll be poor all my life. I'm saved, but I'm saved poor. So God wants to prosper all of us. He wants to help us get better in different areas. Here, the Bible says, since many of the people in the world are blinded by sin, they think it's foolish to preach the gospel that God saves by Jesus dying on the cross. Some think it's so foolish, like the Greeks, you know, they want something more intelligent. Give me something more intelligent than Jesus dying on the cross. That seems so foolish that somebody could get saved by somebody dying on a cross. Tell me something that's very intelligent. So they, you know, they puffed up the mind, right? God took something so foolish to save the world, put his son on the cross for us. That doesn't seem, doesn't seem right. Look at this scripture over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, chapter 1, verse 18 to 25. I'm reading the New Living Translation. It says here, the cross is foolishness. Since many in the world are blinded, here, the message of the cross is foolish to those who are headed for destruction. But we who are being saved know it's the very power of God. Verse 19, as the scriptures say, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and discard the intelligence of the intelligent. Verse 20, so where does this leave the philosophers and scholars and the world's brilliant debaters? God has made the wisdom of this world look foolish. Verse 21, since God in his wisdom saw to it that the world would never know him through human wisdom, he has used our foolish preaching to save those who believe. Verse 22. It is foolish to the Jews who ask for signs from heaven. It is foolish to the Greeks who seek human wisdom. Verse 23. So we preach Christ was crucified. The Jews are offended and the Gentiles say it's all nonsense. Verse 24, but those who are called by God to salvation, both Jews and Gentiles, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Verse 25, the foolish plan of God is wiser than the wisest human plans, And God's weakness is stronger than the greatest of human strength. Watch this. 1 John 5 and 19, the Amplified Bible. For we know for a fact that we are God, that the whole world around us lies under the power of the evil one, opposing God and his precepts. He says this whole world is under the power and under the control of the devil. Now, if you ask somebody that in the world, or you know, somebody, they'll say, no, that's not true. That cannot be true. I'm not under no power. I'm not under no spell of no devil. I know my rights. I know, you know, they'll tell you stuff like that. But you say, hey, listen, you know, you're blind. And they think this is all crazy. All of you go to church Wednesday night, you're all crazy. Come here at Wednesday night. Listen to a man preach about the gospel. You know? It's all foolishness to them. They think you're crazy. What? Wednesday night service? What are you talking about? We're going to go, you know, go bowling tonight. Where's my bowling shoes? Mama, get my bowling shoes. So the gospel is light. You know, the gospel is light. The good news is light. Psalm 119, verse 105, New Living says, your word is a lamp and a guide to my feet and a light for my path. That's a good news. God's word is a lamp. It's a guide. If you want something in your life, get to the word and let it guide you. Amen? So, the path sometimes doesn't look clear, but if you get the light shining, it shows you a little bit more. Get some more light. Go a little bit more and more. You know, like when I go to, we go outside at night, you know, take our dogs for a walk. Sometimes I walk them at 11 o'clock sometimes, 10 o'clock. And the dog, you know, he'll just go, shh, you know. And sometimes I grab the wrong thing because he'll go somewhere. I tried to go and my neighbor over there, and he was going in a bush, and I saw her cleaning up all the stuff, and then my dog went in there, and he went did something. But the light, I'm talking about the light, shine, I could see where he went. So there's times I came back in my home, and I smelled something. So I smelled the other dog did something behind me, and I stepped on it. Because, you know, you need light everywhere. Sometimes you get caught. So if you have dogs, you understand what I'm talking about. So when I came to Jesus, the first thing I discovered, you know, the first thing I discovered was it was like light. I felt a discouragement and weight was lifted off my shoulder, what I felt. I felt bright. I felt, you know, free. I felt depression left me. I just got so happy for no reason, apparent reason at all. I was just so happy. Go to bed happy. I go, literally go to bed with a smile on my face. Wake up in the morning smiling. My cousin got saved. You know, he got so saved. Got really saved. He said to me, he said, bro, listen to me. He said, when I came to your church, I got born again. I got really saved. And I'm smiling all the time. And I saw my friends coming. And they're big thugs, you know. And I was just so elated. I'm just smiling. And I didn't want to look at them. Because he said, I thought they're gonna get mad at me, start fighting me because I'm so happy. They said, hi, buddy. What's going on, man? What's going on? And he goes... He didn't want to show them, like, you know. He didn't want to let them know. He thought, they might think I'm laughing at them because I'm so happy. I'm so happy all the time. So that's the way I was. Because when you're depressed since you're a kid and you went through all kinds of stuff, at 24 years old, bang, I'm born again. I'm so happy. I want to tell everybody I'm happy. But not everybody was, you know, they weren't accommodating. But I always found a way to tell somebody. You know, listen to me. Let me tell you something. I always found a way to tell somebody about my, they said the elevator testimony. But Jerry has a long elevator. You know, he'll hit you once, he'll hit you again. Listen. So, people are lost. They need to hear the gospel. They need to hear us preach the gospel. And the Bible says that Jesus, over there, let's finish this off here in Matthew 4 and 16. Let me just read read from verse 12. Verse 12, you got my stuff there, yeah, okay. When Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he left Judea and returned to Galilee. He went first to Nazareth and then left there and moved to Capernaum, beside the Sea of Galilee, in the region of Zebulun of Naphtali. This fulfilled what God had said through the prophet. In the land of Zebulun and of Naphtali, beside the sea, beyond the Jordan River in Galilee, there were so many Gentiles lived, that people who sat in darkness saw a great light. For those who lived in the land where the death cast a shadow, a light has shined. This is exactly speaking about the gospel. The Bible said, in him was light, and he's the light of the world. So when we know Jesus, when Jesus comes and the seed is planted in our hearts about anything that we need in life, the Bible says that even as Christians, if we mess around with darkness, darkness will recapture you. Jesus said, if you go and play around in darkness, darkness has the license, even though you're born again, to take you back. He'll hold you captive unless you said no. Unless you said no, I'm not staying here, and you can be free. But sometimes when people get so far in there, that's when they need intercessors like this to pray for them to come back. Because they don't know. They're so lost. Even as Christians, they're so lost. They can't find their way around. That's why we need intercessors. Yeah? This guy is an intercessor. Ernie, stand up. I want you to pray for this chicken man. Because this guy, the Lord will get a hold of him at night, and he'll pray a night through. He'll pray in the Holy Ghost. You can sit down. No, stand up one more time. No, go ahead and sit down again. See, that's how he is. He listens to the Lord. Stand up again one more time. Sit down now. See the Lord, he listens to the Lord. See the Lord will get on him and he started to shake and everything, you know. He thought he was sick before. But the Lord got on him. He said, Ernie, you need to pray. So-and-so needs prayer. And you know, there's sometimes that when I need prayer, he'll call me. He said, Pastor, there's something going on here. I know exactly. I didn't tell him. I said, yeah, go ahead, Ernie, pray. He doesn't have to know any detail. I don't want him to be like, what do you call those Hollywood? They want to know everything. Right? What is it called that? The Inquirer or something like that. Not only Inquirer, but he looks kind of an inquiring guy. But so he'd pray. Let's all stand. Praise God. I've gone over my time. Father, we want to thank you for the light of the gospel. You said in your word that we can be happy. You said in Colossians chapter 1, verse 12, 13, and 14. Giving thanks unto the Father who has made us able to be a partaker of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness. The power of darkness. And has delivered us in the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. I want to thank you that every single person in here that are your redeemed, that they can claim full redemption, spirit, soul, and body, not only for themselves, but for their loved ones, and claim everything back they lost that the enemy has stolen. Years of captivity, stuff they lost, to be brought back to their hands. So, Father, we want to thank you that you're going to do that. You said you would do it. And so anyone here that's going to say, Father, I'm claiming my rights as a citizen of heaven, and I want to thank you in the name of Jesus. I give you praise for what you're doing. I thank you for freeing me from bitterness, from lying, from cheating. Free me from habits of using not only drugs, but people. Free me from mental oppression and suppression, even as a Christian. I claim my right that my mind is my mind. That my emotions, I can harness my emotions and feel any way I want to. And make decisions that are sound and strong. That I am a child of light. I live in a kingdom of light. And I want to thank you that I can use my faith right now to not only free myself, but free my family. If there's anyone here right now that wants freedom, get out of your chair right now. I'm going to pray with you, for you. I don't need to know what it is. Just get out of your chair right now and pray for you. You come up here. Anybody here? You're all free. Everybody say, thank God I am delivered from the power of darkness. Say, darkness does not control me. Evil does not control me. Amen. That's right. I want to thank God for victory. Y'all want to pray for you? Come on up here. Can I pray for you? Yeah. What is your name? Tessa. Would you please stretch your hand towards this young lady? You don't have to put the camera on her, but Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for this young lady. She's going places. She's got a sound mind. She's got victory working for her right now. You're opening doors for her. You're closing other doors for her that she should not go through. You're bringing her to a place of total tranquility, total freedom from her past and all her mistakes. And there is a destiny awaiting her in the name of Jesus. God, you're rolling out a carpet for her to go on this journey to a place that she's never, ever can imagine where she will be standing. This day from last year, next day, this is going to be a change in her life. This is a marking of a new destiny, a new era in her life. So we're praying in the name of Jesus. Everybody is agreeing right now that change is coming starting today. I want to give you praise that you open up her eyes, that darkness has gone from her mind. Darkness has gone from her heart. In the name of Jesus, Father, fill her with the Holy Ghost. Fill her with the power of God. Give her a fresh infilling of your Holy Spirit. In the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Do you believe that? I just sense something happening in your life. Challenges will not kill you, will not destroy you. You're going to go to a new place. You're going to a new place. You're going to a new place. Amen.